and riches too, can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest, the guilty pair, the guilty pair. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son, his only son to me. His erring child, his erring child, his erring child I reconciled. Oh, and pardon from pardon from his, is the love of God, oh love of God, oh how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever. It shall forevermore enjoy the saints' name, the saints' and angels' song. Oh, when hurrying time, when hurrying times, oh, shall pass away and earth. Earthly thrones and kingdoms fall when men who hear, when men who hear refuse to pray, and rocks and hills and mountains. Oh, God's love so sure, God. God love so sure, oh, shall still endure. Oh, measureless and strong, redeeming grace, redeeming grace to what is great, the saints are in it. The saints and angels. Oh, it's the love of God. It's the love of God. How rich and, oh, how rich and pure. How measureless. Oh, how measureless. Oh, we shall forever. It shall forever. The saints and angels song.
Oh, love of God.
The love of God. How rich and pure. Oh, how rich and pure.
How measureless.
Oh, how measureless
and strong.
It shall forever. Shall forevermore endure the saints and angels, the saints and angels' song.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you this morning. Don't you just love it to start a Sunday morning with such a song? Oh, love of God. Oh, if we can ever understand the love of God to solve a lot of our problems. Welcome to our Sunday school class this morning. It's good to see Sister Comfort. Amen. Welcome back. Amen. You're not allowed to go to Ghana anymore. I would like to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 11 this morning. Matthew 11, verse 29, and we shall also read in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew 11, perhaps we could read verse 28 as well. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus again teaching the Beatitudes. I think this is the first teaching that he ever expounded to the masses. And it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for your grace that has once again brought us into church. We love you so much, Lord, for you love us before we were lovable. Lord, yet, Father, you went out for us, Lord, and for this, Lord, we will ever love you with all that we have. So this morning, we want to give all that we are, Lord, into your word. May you speak to us, Father, for it means more than anything in this world that we could ever receive. It's just to hear from you, Father. We are hungering and thirsting that you speak to us, Lord, and instruct us in thy ways that we may know how to walk before you with a perfect heart, to live in this world like a true ambassador of heaven, and Father, to continue to extend thy program of saving those that are lost. May you grant us this grace this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, saints. This morning I was very determined to look very, very smart. So I asked my daughter, what tie should I wear? And she told me, yellow and matching shoes. And I was like, them brothers are going to see me today, you know. I was really feeling confident.
Amen.
Until Brother Eli showed up. So now forever it is settled in my heart. I shall never be like a Brother Eli. He's a super, you know. He dresses like a true Congolese man. You're smart, brother. I don't want to tell you that after you are gone. So we thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We read from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, where Jesus was speaking some words there. And I would like to focus my Sunday school lessons over the next few weeks on these few words. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. So this has been a verse that I really truly cherish in my life, that the Lord himself says that he is meek and he is lowly in heart. And that's quite a challenge. And so in the studying of these scriptures, and I was meditating on this Friday, and it came upon my heart about being meek and lowly in heart. And at some point I said it to my wife, you know. I said, I am meek and lowly. She laughed. She doesn't think I am meek and lowly. So that challenged me, because the person that's closest to you is your wife. And if anybody knows you really, really well in this earth, it ought to be your wife to those that are married. So if you want to know who Brother Wilmore is, it's best to ask my wife. She'll tell you that he is nothing but meek and lowly, like she showed to me last week. But that really challenged me in my soul, because I've always tried to live a meek and lowly life. And so when I realized that my wife doesn't think that I am meek and lowly, I thought that maybe it's something that I should read and study to see what it is that I am missing, because I want to be meek and I want to be lowly. So the first place I went, obviously, was into the book of Matthew chapter 5. And I read there the Beatitudes that Jesus was teaching to the disciples. And there's 8 of these Beatitudes. And what's interesting about these Beatitudes is that out of all 8, there is one only that have a promise that is physical, something that you can touch. Because when you look at them, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we know what the kingdom of heaven is.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is within our souls. It is something that is not tangible, that you can touch. The kingdom of heaven is everything to us.
Yes.
It is love, it is kindness, it is all these qualities. And so, but it isn't something that you could say you could touch. Even when we say, well, we shall go to heaven, but it's only temporary, because our future home is right here on earth.
Hallelujah.
And it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Amen.
Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. It's the only promise that you, it's the only beatitude that you could associate with a physical reward that God will give unto you. And it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled with righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven again. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly great, for great is your reward in heaven. So of all these beatitudes, we find there is only one that is associated with a physical reward. Now, the beatitudes themselves speak a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because each and every one of these beatitudes is an attribute of the character of Jesus Christ himself. Because when you look at them, blessed are the poor in spirit. He made himself poor in spirit. Everything that he did, he said, I do nothing except what my Father shows me.
Amen.
There was nothing he could do and without depending on his Father, making himself poor in spirit. And we should emulate to be like that also.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, blessed are they that mourn. Jesus definitely mourned for Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, how oft I would have hovered over you and gathered you as a hen gathers her children, but you would not. He cried for the sins of that city. Blessed are the merciful, and surely he is merciful to us. And blessed are the pure in heart. Everything that Jesus did, he had a very pure motive. That was to serve you and me and to glorify our Father in heaven. There was nothing for him there. It was nothing that he could do for himself to show who he was. He had a very pure, pure heart.
Amen.
He was a peacemaker. He brought peace between you and God. And definitely he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he was reviled and persecuted. These are characteristics of the traits of the character of Jesus Christ himself. And definitely, it says, blessed are the meek. And we read in Matthew chapter 11, he said also directly that I am meek and I am lowly.
Amen.
So we know definitely that Jesus was meek and lowly because he said so. So we can look in his life and learn what it is to be meek and to be lowly.
Amen.
Because that's something that you and me should emulate to have. You might ask me why we should emulate to be meek and lowly. And I could read for you a number of scriptures why we should be meek and lowly. And there's a lot of them, but I shall try to be very brief. Isaiah 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So we find here, right there in verse number 1, that Isaiah was speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel was anointed upon Jesus Christ to preach it to the meek. There is no way you can receive the gospel unless you are meek. That's why it's important. Let's read Psalm 22, verse 26. Psalm 22, 26. Thank you, Sister Susan. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Meekness being associated there with being satisfied and living forever. We'll just move quickly through them. Psalm 25, verse 9. And this is an important verse. We'll come back to it later on. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his ways. God will guide the meek in judgment. Now, it may be very difficult to understand how these words are placed together in here, but it will become clear down the way. The meek will God guide in judgment, and he will teach his way. We'll come back to this one. Psalm 37:11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So this is directly Matthew 5, verse 5. The meek shall inherit the earth. Psalm 76:9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. So when God rises in judgment, he's going to save the meek of the earth. It will all come clear very, very quickly. Psalm 147:6. The Lord lifteth up the weak. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. So there's something very, very important about being meek. Psalm 149, verse 4. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. No wonder the gospel is preached to the meek. Only they will receive it and they get saved. Because God will beautify them, being meek with salvation. Isaiah 29, verse 11. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Is that the one? Verse 19, sorry, my apologies, sister. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Now, we have read most of them are in the Old Testament. There is a lot more that are in the New Testament. And one that I would like to look at, which is going to help us to look at the definition of what meekness is Matthew 21, verse number 5. In there, we begin to see something about meekness because we know Jesus himself was meek. Matthew 21. Maybe verse 4, sister, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. Maybe verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Amen. So here is Jesus fulfilling scripture that speaks about him, speaking about the king of Jerusalem coming to the city of Jerusalem. But the way that he came, the Bible speaks that he was coming on a donkey and the colt of an ass. That's a young donkey, really. But in our minds as people, when we think about a king coming to a city, it is quite an affair, you know, because kings don't come riding on a horse. But to show something about his character, he wasn't coming on a big white horse, or perhaps maybe with a legion of angels proclaiming, here comes the King of Jerusalem. He came riding on a donkey to display that attribute of being meek. There's something about meekness that goes beyond just being humble. Meekness is an active word, and it's so bad that if you go now today and try to find the meaning of the word meek, you won't find it easily. It is so meek a word that even in the dictionaries, they don't even put the definition of meekness. I'm talking even the Bible dictionaries. When I was reading last week, and I thought I would look in the concordance and look for this word meek, because it's got such importance, it's not in my Bible concordance. And then in where they give the definitions of the words, I couldn't find the word meek either. In the Collins Dictionary I read this morning, they have the completely wrong meaning of the word meek. They just, when you go to the dictionary and look for meek, and all it said there was submissive. And to the world today, meekness has become a very bad trait. When they say this person is meek, they are not complimenting you. They are saying that you are very weak and can be pushed around and things like that. But that's not the true meaning of the word meek. We see here Jesus coming to Jerusalem, the creator of heavens and earth, but he chooses to come in a very humble way. Now, it goes beyond just choosing to take a lesser way where there's no pride in it or anything. It goes more than just that. Meekness is something that I will never be able to show you here. So let's settle that. But it's something you should desire. But we definitely can learn a lot from these examples. In the whole Bible, there's only three people that are said to be meek. Two are said of it directly, Moses and Jesus. The third one is Paul. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man in the earth at that time. I think Numbers 20, verse 12, if you can put that quickly. Sorry, we are just doing a foundation here. We will look at this topic properly at some point. Numbers 12, sorry, sister. Did I say 20? Numbers 12. And it says about Moses in verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all them which were upon the face of the earth. And it's very important that it was put in there and in brackets. And we thank God because it preserves what it means to be meek. This was mentioned at a time when Miriam and Aaron had come to Moses, the man of God. And they came to him with two issues that I would consider to be the most sensitive issues a man can ever be confronted with. The first issue, they came and said, you married an Ethiopian woman. I mean, there's many things you can do that may not insult a man, but when you begin to speak to a man about his choice of wife, some people have been killed for that. So they came to Moses and they were really not kind to him. They spake against Moses. This is Miriam and Aaron, his own sister and his own brother. Same father, same mother. And they came and spoke against him because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Married an Ethiopian woman. And the other issue they spoke to him about, they say to him, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken by us also? Everything that Moses did, he did it because God had spoken to him. He would not have done anything if God had not spoken to him. All the things that he did it based on the authority that God has spoken to me. Now here is people coming to challenge him on the very authority that God had given him. I don't think there's anything that could ever make a man so angry. Can you imagine? I mean, Moses was a dispensational prophet. That's a very high calling, the highest calling a man could get, apart from being a child of God. Now, imagine maybe when I was a deacon. I don't want to give anybody's example. And some people voted me to be a deacon. And somebody comes to challenge me. Who made you a deacon here? It's very hard to remain cool. It was so bad when they did this to Moses that it says when they had spoken to Moses about this in verse number 2, it says that the Lord heard it. Even God heard it. But then there's an interjection that comes, and it comes in brackets, and it says, now the man Moses was very meek. So imagine this great provocation that has come to Moses, and even God has heard what they have said about Moses, until even God himself was angry. Do you know?
Yes.
That when God heard Miriam and Aaron speak about Moses in this way, God was angry. And he came on the scene and he spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Miriam and Aaron. And they both came and he says, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not like that. Yeah?
Amen.
Who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently.
Glory.
Do you know what that means? That God will appear before Moses. Like,
yes.
And talk to him like you speak to your friend.
Yes.
That's what God himself was saying here. Apparently. And not in dark speeches. You know, God can speak in parables, but with Moses, it's straight speech. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Ah. I want you to think about this a little bit. I know we've run out of time, but no worries. We'll talk about it next week. Here is Moses, who knows that God spoke to me lip to ear. Who knows that he did speak to me like he doesn't speak to any other people. God himself appeared to Moses. And he said, I want to see you. He said, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back. None of us here have even dreamed an angel speaking to you, even just to dream. None of us, many of us here, have not even dreamt Brother Branham speaking to you.
That's correct, brother.
But here is a man who spoke with God face to face. And he knows that he has the favor of the Lord. And people come and speak to him in the most provocative way that a person could be speaking to, challenging his wife and the authority that he has over the people that God had given him. Even to the extent that it made God angry, what these people said. What more of Moses? How angry do you suppose he would have gotten? A man that had brought Egypt down. The mightiest nation at that time. Mm-hmm. And Moses could speak and turn water into blood.
That's correct.
He could speak darkness, frogs, lice, and all these things. And he knew it was in the power that God had given him. I mean, a man that could lift up his stick and the Red Sea could part like this for people to walk through. Or even speak to a rock and water comes out of a rock.
Amen.
That's not a light man to speak against. I think Aaron and Miriam had some nerve to do that. And they speak to him to challenge his spiritual authority and to speak about his wife. But the Bible says Moses was meek. He could have gotten angry. He could have replied. He could have said something. But he didn't. Even though he knew he could have, Moses chose not to. And I want you to see that attribute. That even though Moses could have chosen, and he was very justified in replying harshly to these people, he had every reason on his side. And his response, if he had responded harshly, he would have been justified, no sin in it, because of what these people did.
That's right.
Yet he chose none of those. The same way Jesus could have rode into Jerusalem with a 12-gun salute of angels. But he didn't choose that. He chose rather to fulfill God's word. Amen. Meekness is an attribute that takes real godly character to choose. When you know you have every right to sue a doctor for what he has done to yourself, but you choose to be meek, it's not an easy thing. It's a serious victory. Because at the same time you are choosing to be meek, people are looking at you and say, he is very weak. And your own fallen nature is telling you, why did you do? You can do this. And oh, may the Lord help us to see a little bit more next week. Even Paul, I was going to speak about Paul. Sorry to the deacons. Because Paul says, should I come to you with a rod of correction? I'm adding of correction there. But he says, should I come with you with a rod, or rather choose meekness and come with you in love? Paul could have come with a rod to correct the Corinthians. But he says, you choose. Do you want me to come with a rod, or rather I come in meekness with in love? So you can see meekness is an active word where you are constantly making decisions. No wonder it says God will teach the meek how to judge. We read that in the book of Psalms. He will guide them in judgment. When you are making a judgment, when Moses looked at the situation, he made a judgment and God guided him to choose rather mercy than punishment. So meekness is a very, very active word. And it's very, very misunderstood. And next week, let us look a little bit more and see what this is all about. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Lord, always running out of time. So we want to commit these few words into your hands and ask that you may be with us and help us to understand this great quality, Lord. For you said, them that are meek shall inherit this earth, Lord. And we know, Father, that when the rapture comes, this whole earth will be renewed. But in the midst of it, Lord, you shall take your meek out, Lord. And when they come, they shall inherit this new world that would be renewed once again. And we know we are part of that, Lord. So help us, Father, that in our walk we may desire these things and express them and live, Lord, Father, our lives as the meek of the Lord. May you grant grace unto our service this morning. Bless the musicians and our minister who shall stand before us. We commit them into your hands. Use them, Lord, to bring us unto a higher ground. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.